Our study for this afternoon is Psalm 48, which we have just read. And having read this psalm, I think you can see what is the theme, the main point of this psalm. Anyone can tell me what is the theme of this psalm? Of course, you know the theme when something is said over and over again. Anyone? It is Jerusalem, isn't it? Jerusalem is a psalm of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is described in a number of ways over here. For instance, in verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. And in verse 2, Mount Zion is again Jerusalem. Beautiful situation, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, the sights of the north. And then again, Jerusalem, the city of the great king. So it has to do with the city of Jerusalem. And I wonder how many of you have been to Jerusalem, been on the Holy Land pilgrimage. Some of you may have. And if you have the opportunity, I would encourage you to go on a Holy Land pilgrimage. It is by the grace of God I have been able to lead seven Holy Land pilgrimages thus far. And God willing, at the end of the year, we are having our eighth pilgrimage, the Far Eastern Bible College, holding an eighth pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Of course, each time we go there, we want to go with an open Bible and study God's Word, and also go with the right spirit to worship the Lord and to thank Him and praise Him for what He has done for us in Jerusalem, and also to go there to be a blessing to God's people over there, not only to the Jews, unbelieving ones. We want to share with them the gospel and bear a good testimony. But also we have a BP church there, a Palestinian Bible Presbyterian Church in Bethlehem. And when we go there, they are very encouraged. Bethlehem is one of the poorest cities in the world. And in a sense, they are under siege because of the big wall that divides, right, the Jewish part from the Palestinian territory. They're sort of shut in. So the Christians, when they over there, are suffering. And when we go, we of course go with encouragement. We pray for them. We support them also financially. And they are encouraged to bear good testimony for the Lord there. So we go there to bless this city. And indeed, if you have been to Jerusalem, you can see that Jerusalem is a very unique and very special city, unlike many of the cities in the world. There's something special about Jerusalem. There's something unique there. And all because it is God's chosen city, it's all because God still is what? Overseeing and extremely interested, taking care of Jerusalem, and one day will promote Jerusalem even to become the capital of the world. You know, Jerusalem right now, the United States have just moved its embassy to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem will not only be the capital of the United States or any other country, it's going to be the capital of the whole world. And it will only happen when the Lord Jesus comes back. So all other cities will be destroyed. But this city will remain when Jesus comes back. It's a very special city. And so much is written on this city. And in this psalm, a beautiful psalm, to bless the city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, what does it mean? Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. In the Hebrew, Yeru means city. Shalaim, from the Hebrew shalom, which means peace. So literally, the city of peace.
right?
Jerusalem is the city of peace. Although it's called the city of peace, is it peaceful right now? Not peaceful. There is no peace in Jerusalem right now. In fact, it is in a state of war. And those who want to go to the Holy Land often ask me, is it safe or not? Is it safe to go to Israel? I often reply, no. Right? It's never safe. Jerusalem is at war, no peace. But each time we go, we have to go by faith. We go because we know it's God's will. God opens the way for us. And if it is God's will for us to be there, to worship Him, to be a blessing to His people over there, surely He will what? Watch over us, protect us. And so all these 7 Holy Land pilgrimages have been a blessing to those who have gone. And we have met with a number of potentially dangerous situations because it's in a state of war. You can hear shooting and all that. But the Lord keeps His people safe. Now we have a living and true God. As much as He's watching over Jerusalem and Israel, He's also watching over us, His people, His children, His church. Right? So this is the kind of God we have. And Jerusalem is a testimony that the living and true God is none other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Christianity, right? The God of this word, this Bible. So, although it is a city of peace and still no peace, peace will come to Jerusalem one day when the Lord returns. So, Jerusalem is a very, very special city. And I'm not surprised that those who have been to Jerusalem or been to Israel once in a Holy Land pilgrimage, they want to go again. And there are some pilgrims who have visited the Holy Land pilgrimage 4 or 5 times. They don't get tired. And they keep telling me, each time I go to Jerusalem, it's a new experience. Although we see many of the same places, we open the scriptures, and yet the experience is always new, always refreshing. Something special. Right, to this land. Very hard to explain. So why? Why is it so special? Well, this psalm tells us why. There are 3 reasons. Number 1, it is special because it is a city of our God. It is the city of the great King. Right? We have just read this in verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Indeed. So here we are told it is the city of our God and the city of the great King. And so Jerusalem is the city of which God? Not any God, but the God who created heaven and earth, the God who revealed Himself to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Right? The God of the Hebrews, the God of the Jews, the God of Israel. And Israel is God's chosen nation. Not Singapore, not Malaysia, not any other nation. Only Israel holds this special place. Apple of God's eye is God's chosen nation. Don't ask me why. God chooses a nation as He sees fit according to His pleasure. Right? And He decided to choose Israel. Not because Israel was great or well known. Israel, in fact, is the smallest, very insignificant, right? Weak and small. But God, our God, is a God who specializes, who is an expert in using small things, weak things, to do His mighty work. And God chose Israel, small, tiny Israel, to do His powerful and great work of what? Saving the world. For out of Israel came a Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not any god. So the city of our God. So here as a son of a psalm for the sons of Korah, the Israelites writing this psalm, our God, right? The God of the Israelites, the God of Israel, who is also our God. Right? Jehovah himself is our God and the great king. And it's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because the city of the great king, it is a city, and it is a special a city because the land, right, in which the city is found was given by God, given by God. We read of this in Genesis chapter 13. Come to Genesis 13. Genesis 13, verse 14 to 17. And here we read, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." So this land, God promised, God gave to the nation of Israel. And that's why it's special. And then also in chapter 15, look at chapter 15 now, verse 1 to 7. "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." Right? So God made wonderful promises to Abram. He will be a father of a great nation, the nation of Israel, and he will also be a father of spiritual children, all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, as he did. For Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's how we believe too, and got saved, right? And inherited also the gift of eternal life and the kingdom of God. But to Abraham and his descendants, God says, I give thee this land to inherit it. And this land for them to inherit is freehold. Alright, freehold. You know what's freehold land? Tomorrow, you know, True Life Church will be having an ECN. We are going to purchase a small property. And it is a freehold land, right? Freehold land because it's 999 years. 999 years. Is it freehold? Of course, a long time, 999 years. It's almost a millennium. Some land is 99 years. Just like FEBC. FEBC 98 Gilstead Road is 99 years. And already over 50 years. So we have about 40 over years. And after that, you have to give back the land to the government. So that's leasehold, not freehold. But 999, people usually call it freehold because it's a long time, right? This is, don't know how many generations. But there's also another kind of land that is 9999 years, right? 4 9. That's 10,000 years. That's also considered freehold. But the land given to the Israelites, how many years? Not is really freehold land, right? Equivalent to, I think, 9999, 10,000 years. Because this world is how old now? About 6,000, right? From the time of well, 4004 BC, Bishop Usher tells us that Genesis, creation happened. So if it's 4,000, 4 years based upon biblical chronology, then of course right now 2018, it's about 6,000 years. Right? And who knows, because we are in the 6,000 year, there'll be a millennium, 1,000 year reign of Christ. And some people suggest that the Lord's coming can be very soon. And maybe the next thousandth year, right, will be the, you know, the 7,000 year, maybe the millennial year. The Lord can come back at any moment. It was 7,000 years. And of course, we know that after this, after the millennium, the whole world will be destroyed by fire. Right? Then new heaven, new earth. So 7,000 years. But there's a land that's available out there. That's 9999 years. 10,000 years. Well, you can say the land of Israel is given to Israel with this kind of a leasehold. Freehold. 9999 years. Until the Lord comes back and beyond this kind of a land. I'm praying tomorrow's ECM will be a successful one for July. We are taking a step of faith to buy a small property for, of course, for God's work and God's purpose. We still worship at the RELC because we are already, the Lord bless us with an increase in number, and it's not easy to find a big enough space, right, for, of course, the church. And so RELC can hold 490, right, in the auditorium. Our membership is now just over 500. And then also the fellowship groups increasing. We meet in homes and space getting tight. So getting the small property for fellowship meetings. And of course we can use it for many other purposes as our church office and other ministries. So we're praying that, I'm praying the Lord will help us cross the Jordan to this, to acquire this property. But, what Israel has, of course, is far, far better. God gave to them and will never take away from them. Also, chapter 17, Genesis 17. We have read Genesis 13, 15, and then there's another one, right? You know, this is God promised again and again and again, right? Because sometimes, you know, we doubt the Lord. And yet the Lord, you know, is so good and kind to just remind us again and again and again. And here in Genesis 17, verse 1 to 8, we read, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." And so here the Lord says, I'm not only giving you this land, I'm going to give you a people and you will be a blessing to all nations, the world. And then this is my everlasting covenant. This is my covenant, right, unto thee. And then in verse 8, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." So this is God's covenant, right, with the nation of Israel. It involves the land, involves the people, right? It involves the city, Jerusalem, involves the throne of David, and involves all these things. It involves, of course, Israel blessing the whole world. So this, again, right? Why is Jerusalem special? It's because of God, right? City of our God and the great King who has given the land to Israel and made a covenant promise. And the covenant promise is not only to be a blessing to Israel, but to the whole world. And it's special because the land belongs and comes from our covenant God of promise. And when God makes a covenant is a sacred contract, a sacred agreement. But then the agreement is one-sided. It's not that that we can bargain with God and negotiate with God and then come to an agreement. There's God. We are nothing. We have nothing. Right? But God has everything. God says, I love you. I want to give to you. And then he makes a promise. And he says, I will fulfill all these things. And our duty is simply by faith what? By faith, receive it. Right? Believe it. Receive it and enjoy. Enjoy his blessing. And when God makes a covenant promise, which is unconditional and one-sided, he will never change his mind. Once he says it, he will what? Perform it. The promises of God are yea and amen. Right? Not like the promises so-called of men. Vows that have been taken are broken. But God, when he makes a vow or takes an oath or makes a promise, he will not break it. And God has kept his promise. Has he not? You know, God also made many promises to us. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? Saved. And then your sins will be forgiven. You have eternal life. Will your salvation ever be taken away from you? Never. Even when you are disobedient, of course, we don't want to be disobedient children. But even when we are disobedient and we backslide from God, the salvation God has promised you and given to you when you believe on him, can he withdraw it or take it away? Can you lose it? No, cannot. Because he's so powerful. And he's also very truthful. That's why once he has saved you, he will save you to the very end. And yes, we may walk waywardly and disobediently and backslide, which is of course not good, we should not do it. But when we backslide from the Lord and we disobey the Lord and walk waywardly, what does the Lord do? Does he disown us? No, he doesn't. He will what? Like a loving father chastise, and of course can be very painful, and convict us of our sin, and then we repent and return to the Lord. He will never disown us. And this is a lesson we also learn from the nation of Israel. The city of Jerusalem, has it ever been destroyed? It's a beautiful city, right? With a beautiful temple. Has the city ever been destroyed or not? Yes, right? A number of times. But what we find also in the city of Jerusalem is this. It is always what? Rebuilt. It's always restored. Of course, why is the city of Jerusalem destroyed? Why is even the temple destroyed? It's because of what? Because of disobedience, rebellion, right? The backsliding of Israel. And God sent his prophets one by one to preach, to warn. But they refused to repent. Then God says, all right, enough is enough. Then he sent the Assyrians, he sent the Babylonians, and the land became desolate, even the city of Jerusalem destroyed. But, although God judged and God punished, he did not forsake. He did not forsake Israel. And even though God says, I will punish you, right? Yet he also gave a promise, I will also restore you. The Babylonians will come, and they will destroy the city of Jerusalem and temple, and then take you away into captivity. And the Lord also told them, you will be in captivity for 70 years. And after 70 years, I will let you go back to the land, and you will rebuild the city, rebuild the temple. Right? He judged his people, he judged his city, but never what? Forsook them. Forsook them. He will restore. You know, right now in July Church, I'm preaching through the book of Daniel. And indeed, Daniel was living in a time when the 70 years was about up. The people of Israel is going to in captivity for in Babylon for 70 years, about to what? Go back. And Daniel was mindful of the promise of the Lord from Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah 25, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 25. And verse 11, it says here, and this whole land, it says here, this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, right? Israel, you will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. You'll be taken into captivity. But Babylon one day will fall, and God gave to Daniel, right, a vision, even to King Nebuchadnezzar, this dream of an image and then the head of gold. And God says, you are the head of gold, but one day you will fall. And the silver kingdom will arise and take over the golden kingdom. And the Medo-Persian Empire will come, will arise and take over you. And it will be under the Medo-Persian king. Right, that Israel will be released to return to the land. And even God gave the time, 70 years. And indeed, exactly this was what happened. For Daniel was taken to captivity in 606 BC. And then later on, in 536 BC, 70 years later, Cyrus gave a decree to release the people to go back to the land of Israel. And Cyrus, mind you, was not someone who came by surprise. For God had already predicted 150 years before Cyrus appeared that this man will come. Now turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 44. The book of Isaiah chapter 44. Look at the last verse over here. Isaiah 44, verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. And Isaiah prophesied 150 years before Cyrus appeared. In other words, even before Cyrus was born, right? Isaiah already... How did Isaiah know? Of course, God knew already. And God told Isaiah, and you tell this to the nation of Israel, this is what I'm going to do. And all fulfilled. So, this God of Israel, the city of our God, the city of the great King, who knows the beginning from the end from the beginning, who's so powerful and all-knowing, is he worthy of our trust? Is he worthy of our faith? Is he worthy of our worship? Is he worthy of our service? He's absolutely worthy of worship. We are unworthy, actually. He was so kind and gracious to us to save us. We might worship him. And once he has saved us, he will save us to the very end. And he's the covenant God of promise. And the nation of Israel, this history, the prophecies and the history of Israel teach us, that tell us we have such a God. And this same God is taking care of our lives right now. Not only is our eternal salvation guaranteed, but our daily life, will he provide? Will he take care of us? The answer is yes. As much as we experience, right, the presence of the Lord, the safekeeping of the Lord each time when the pilgrims go to the Holy Land for pilgrimage. It's just a glimpse, a lesson, how He really takes care of us. I'll give you one example. Back in 1993, I went to the Holy Land pilgrimage led by Reverend Toh. And during that time, there was a very terrible thing that happened in Hebron, where a Jewish man, a mad fellow, went in and, you know, shot dead a lot of these Arabs. There was this Hebron massacre that happened. And so tension was at its, you know, highest point. It was a very dangerous situation. So many people cancelled their trip to the Holy Land. But Reverend Toh says, we are going ahead. It was a dangerous situation. People are cancelling, but he says, we go ahead. And I don't remember anyone dropping out. There were 48 of us, so we went. I was there also. And we are supposed to stay in the Baraka Hostel, which was on the Bethlehem Road towards Hebron, so not far away from Hebron. We're supposed to, you know, stay there for a number of days. Our headquarters was there. But when we wanted to enter into that place, the soldiers blocked us. No entry. Right? Wouldn't let us enter. And we waited on the bus because we were supposed to be there, you know, for our rest and our stay. We didn't book any hotel. That was the only place we had. And we were going there, and it was already quite late at night. And say, can we go in? So they said, you wait. And then they had to make some contacts with the headquarters. And about 4 hours later, they came back to us and said, no entry. And it was already quite late in the night. Something like 8 p.m. already. We haven't even taken our dinner. So the bus had to backtrack, go back to the city of Jerusalem. But where to find a place to stay at this late hour? But the Lord knows how to take care. It's the city of our God, city of great King. So the first hotel we went to inquire, is there space? I mean, they may have rooms for, you know, hotels may have some rooms left, a few rooms, but rooms for 48. Will there be enough for all? Which hotel will have all these rooms to spare? But the first hotel we went to, we inquired. And it's called the Jerusalem Hotel. The manager there counted the number of rooms available. And exactly 24 rooms. For 48 of us. Not one room more. Exactly. So you see, God took care of our needs to the last one, to the last person, to the last detail. We don't have to go hunting around for other hotels. The very first one, the Lord directed us. First one we found, exactly for 48 persons. The exact number of rooms we needed. No more, no less. Everyone says, is this not God's doing? He's taking care of us. And indeed, this is the city of our God, and He takes care of His people, and He still does so. And the very fact that today Israel is a nation once more after they crucified the Lord Jesus, and they say, let His blood be on us and our children, well, God also judged them. They are scattered into all four corners of the earth, a people without a nation, but God never forgot them, never forgot them, never forsook them. And in His own good time, He already prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11, I'm going to what? Gather you back together in the land again. And that happened in 1948. And today Israel is a nation once more. Center of worldwide attention still. Powerful nation. But still unbelieving. That's why no peace. But one day they will be believing. God will cause their eyes to be opened, and the Lord Jesus will come back, deliver them, and they will worship Him as their Messiah. Right? So the city of our God and great King. And then the second reason why it is such a special city is because it is the city of the temple. Turn to Psalm 48 again. Psalm 48, verse 9. And here we read, Psalm 48 and verse 9. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. Right? In this city, there was God's house. His temple. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. And the temple, of course, is a symbol of worship and religion. And Jerusalem is special because it's the city of true religion, true faith. And it is the heart of true religion, right? Jerusalem. It's the source of true religion. The Judeo-Christian faith stems from this city. The city of the temple of true religion. And it was glorious. This city and the temple was glorious in the days of David as well as Solomon. And many people flocked to it. But today, the glory has been taken away. Not so glorious. In fact, the temple is no more. On top of Jerusalem now is a mosque. The Mosque of Omar. But one day the glory will return, the temple will return. And that's also promised in Ezekiel chapter 43. You turn to Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel 43 verse 1 to 9, you read, afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looked toward the east, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Kiba. And I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. And so the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. The house here refers to his temple. And one day the temple will be rebuilt. And it will be rebuilt when the Lord Jesus comes back, the millennial temple. And you'll study Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48. It's all about, right, the millennial temple to come. So God also will rebuild his temple one day for Israel. But it reminds us of how we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So now the glory of the Lord is still present within us, right? Because of the Holy Spirit indwelling our bodies and our bodies being temple of the Holy Spirit. And we should not defile this temple. So, it's a great city because it's the city of our God, city of the temple, and thirdly, it's the city of the Bible, right? The city of the Word, of the Book. And in Psalm 48, verse 11, we read, let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Right? Judgments. Now, the word judgments here refer to the Word of God. Right? It speaks of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. And the Holy Scriptures is described as in a number of ways: judgments, statutes, testimonies, right? Precepts, laws, words, all. Many things described. Many words are used to describe the Scriptures. Over here, right, is the word judgments. Because of thy judgments, because of thy word, the Holy Scriptures. And it's from this city that we get our Bible. Moses and the prophets in the Old Testament. The Old Testament written by Moses and the prophets. And then the New Testament written by the apostles. Also written in Jerusalem, which is in the center of three continents. The left is Europe, the right is Asia, and the south is Africa. So Jerusalem, right in the center, which has given to us the Word of God, which is the Word to the nations. And it's interestingly, right, the Bible originated from the center of the world, in the city of Jerusalem, center of the three main continents. So take note of this. And one day, right, out of Jerusalem, the Word of God will go forth powerfully and clearly when Jesus sits on his throne in the time of the millennium. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, we read this. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Okay. So this is what will happen. But right now, you know, we have a glimpse of this, that through the church, the word of God is going out into all the world. We are preaching the gospel, we are teaching God's word, and God has wonderfully inspired and preserved his word, and we have his word in our hands today. Right? And the church at large is doing this now, spreading his teaching, right, his paths, his law to all over the world. But one day, the Lord himself will sit on his throne, and he himself will give out his word, and it will come out from Jerusalem itself. So, and when we do the work of evangelism and also teaching, we are doing sort of, it's a glimpse, right? It's a foretaste of what we will do and will see when Jesus comes back. That's why the Jerusalem is such an important city. In the past, and today, and also in the future. City of our God, who's the great king, and he must rule in Jerusalem one day. City of the temple, he will rebuild his temple and people will go and worship him from all over the world. You're seeing also glimpses of this, right, today. And then it's the city of the Word of God, the Bible. And now God is fulfilling that through the church, but one day it will be from Jerusalem. And so, Jerusalem tells us, is evidence that the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Christians, is the living and true God, and his word is true. Whatever he says to Israel, right, has come to pass, and whatever he has said to us and promised to us who have believed on the Lord Jesus will also be fulfilled and come to pass. So our belief in Jesus is never in vain. Right? We can trust him. So let us continue to trust in our God and live for him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this psalm of Jerusalem, which teaches us of thy faithfulness and truthfulness. Thou the living and true God, the only way, the truth and the life. We thank thee for thy grace upon us, for thy children, to give us even the faith to believe on thee. Help us always, Lord, to live by faith and not by sight, that we would always enthrone Jesus in our lives, for he, that our lives may be his city, his throne, the city of a great king, thou being our God. And how our bodies must not be defiled and contaminated, but be kept pure, because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit and you are dwelling within us. And how also you have commanded us to go and teach all nations, and also to teach them all things. Thank you for the scriptures we have, and remind us that it is now our duty to do precisely this, to be thy missionaries and evangelists, to be thy witnesses. So I'm looking forward to the day when Christ will come, and he himself will give forth his word, his law, from Jerusalem itself. So help us to prepare the way for him. And Lord Jesus, we pray he may come back soon and come back quickly. In thy name we pray. Amen.